We are ahead of schedule. I don't know how that happened, but we are. I will not let you out early, but we'll start anyway. Luke chapter 19, if you would. Luke chapter 19. That was a pretty massive exodus right there. Luke chapter 19. That's a blessing, though. I hear this all the time. You have so many young people in your church. And that's a carryover, Pastor Legault and Pastor Christian. And then people have just, they've stayed, they've grown up in the church and stick around or bring in families or come home and add. And so the Lord just blesses. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that we just keep trying to reach people. When you quit reaching out, you won't grow. And so, praise the Lord, we just put the gospel out and try to do something, and the Lord blesses. And Luke chapter 19, familiar spot, probably verse number 37, we're going to kind of jump into the middle, right? The Lord has told them to go get this colt and bring it to him. And so he's going to make what is commonly called the triumphal entry. And Luke chapter 19 and verse 37. Verse 35, we'll start there. And they brought him to Jesus, speaking of that colt. And they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto them, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these could hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Now, I'm not big on preaching on Palm Sunday or anything. That's not where we're going, all right? I don't really do that kind of thing. We'll talk about the resurrection, especially next Sunday. But you know how this goes. If you were to finish reading in the rest of Luke or the end of the Gospels, this entrance that he makes into the city of Jerusalem is replete throughout the Gospels. As he comes in heralded as king. And in just a few days, this is the first day of the week he's coming in. And they'll go ahead and turn around and by midweek, they're crucifying the Savior. It doesn't last very long. Is what I'm trying to say right here. That didn't last very long. They're praising him and they're glorifying him, and that didn't last very long. His statement to the Pharisees is kind of interesting, right? They get mad. Notice Master, odd title that they give to Jesus, Master. That always seems to be troublesome. They like the word Master. Well, that was Judas's name for him. Might be linked to the idea that his father might have been that Simon, the Pharisee, that brought him in, you know, that kind of thing. Anyways, if you know, you know. If you don't know, you should read the Gospels again, all right? Or ask Pastor Legault. I got to get him back for all the ones he did on Wednesday. But here he is. He's coming in, and the Pharisees are like, hey, you know, why don't you tell your disciples to keep it down? Like, come on. This is a little excessive, don't you think? And he says, "No. Well, if you know what, if they hold their peace, if they don't shout, if they don't praise me," he looks around and he says, "The stones are going to start crying out." Now, I thought this was just kind of interesting. I heard somebody mention this before, and I thought, "Man, that's pretty cool." So I stole it. All right, this one's not me. This thought right here. Back in Joshua. He tells the children of Israel in Joshua. Joshua says that the stones record this day. They're the ones that are, they'll bear witness of what's about to happen right here. The stones will remember what's going on. Well, stones are made of silica. That's what they're made out of. Silicates, they're rocks, the stones. All your technology today is made from silicates. They're made into silicon. And all your memory chips and all your computers and all your It's all based upon, and the Lord's like, the stones record. And we got some microphones. Those include silicates. Silicone gets in there. Say, what do you mean? I don't know, maybe that's just a cool prophecy right there that if you don't, the stones will take care of it. We put out all these speakers and do all these things, and you play music and you do all sorts of stuff and all you're doing. Say, what's the trouble? The trouble is we replace our praise with everything else. Let everything else praise Him. Let everything else give Him glory. We read through, and we'll get there in Psalm 150, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And the Lord's answer was, if the things that don't have breath won't praise me, I'll let the rocks do it. Yeah. Well, I'm just curious, are you getting replaced by rocks? Don't you have more to praise Him for than anybody else on the planet?
Amen. Yeah.
And as a Christian, I mean, we're talking about Him coming in and they're praising Him. And they've got some reasons to praise Him. He's been pretty good in the last 3.5 years to the nation of Israel coming into this city that day. But He's done far more for you and I than He has for anybody.
Amen.
There's not one thing that He hasn't done for you and taken care of.
That's right.
And the day He saved you was just the tip of all the things that He has done. And if the world itself could not contain the books that should be written according to John of all the things that He did in 3.5 years for the nation of Israel, what more has He done for you and I that we could contain it ourselves? There's that old hymn, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. He says later, If we could with ink the oceans fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry.
Yeah.
Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. If you could think about all that He's done, your praise would be just as endless as His goodness. But we are very forgetful. The sad reality is it only took them a few days to forget His greatness. I don't rightly know, it always takes us a few days. And we suddenly become just as complacent and just as lacking in our praise and glory of Him as they did. And so today I'm just curious, what's involved in praising God that maybe we could do so that we don't get replaced by a bunch of rocks? And so let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, I thank You for the day. How marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. You're a marvelous God. And Lord, as we think about how good You've been to us, it's going to be hard to contain the goodness and the praise that follows the goodness of God. The children of Israel cry out in praise on this day that we read about. And Lord, I pray that Your people today are crying out in praise, giving You glory and giving You honor and lifting You up and magnifying You. I wonder if maybe if we'd praise You more, we'd draw more to You. Lord, help us today to not get replaced. Help us to praise You the way we ought to praise You. Give You glory the way we ought to give You glory. Honor You the way we ought to honor You. You're worthy. And Lord, I pray You'd get blessed this morning because of what's said and done. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, here He is, and He's coming in, and I'm going to equate some things here as they do it. The question comes, well, you know, what are they doing in this praise? What's the idea of praising God? Well, you know what? There's a call to praise Him. God calls it out, but you're also supposed to lift your voice in response. These folks here, these disciples that are following him, they're walking. They aren't quiet about it. They saw what was happening. They saw Jesus coming in, and he's coming in on this colt, the foal of an ass, and then he's coming and he's riding in as a king. He's coming in from the Mount of Olives. By the way, he's going to do that again. When he comes back as king, he's going to land on that Mount of Olives. King of kings and Lord of lords on that white horse. He's going to land there on the Mount of Olives, split it in two. He's going to send half of it to the north and half of it to the south. And he's lined up right with where he's going to enter. It's the King's Gate. Side note, just because I like this information and I think it's fun, and I think the Lord has a sense of humor, and I've mentioned it before, but the Muslims walled up that gate. They concreted it. And then, that insult to injury, they put a Muslim graveyard right outside. As if that would stop the King of Kings from getting into his gate. And just like he's going to come in this day right here that we read about, he's going to come through that gate one more time. And when he comes through, there's no graveyard that's going to slow him up, and there's no concrete that's going to keep him out. And he's going to come through as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and sit upon the throne of his father David, and he shall rule for 1,000 years without question. He's going to do it. And there's nothing anybody's going to do to stop him. But today right here that we're reading, we're looking at that, and you know what he's doing? He's just coming in. And they know what he's doing. He's coming in as the king. He's coming in just like what the prophecies were of old day. And he's going to come in riding on that colt. And he's going to come walking into that city and riding. And they're ready to go. And they're yelling and screaming and hooting and hollering and ready. Now, I know this. Everybody has the same answer. That's just not my personality, preacher. I mean, I don't know how to be vocal. Okay, till you get emotional. God's not in emotions. God's a pretty emotional God. I don't know if you've ever read about him. He gets so angry, he's ready to wipe entire people out, including his own people. But he's probably not emotional. Never let emotions affect him. I mean, he's never called himself a jealous guy. Oh, wait. Jesus, of course, he never had any passion while he was here. Not like he threw over tables and whipped people with whips that he made himself. Well, God doesn't use emotion. Yeah, he does. God lets you feel some things. Praise the Lord, he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Praise God. His answer to you is, give me thine heart, my emotions, my love, my care. We were watching baseball last night. My boys watching baseball with me. Mayla, too. She was watching. Melanie didn't care. Mayla cared a little bit. The boys were excited. And every time somebody even made contact with a ball, I heard this from Elijah. Home run! Nobody, that's foul ball. Home run! Nope. He just flew out, buddy. Home run. Now that's a ground ball. Then Aaron Judge hit one. And I got to say, that's a home run. Anyways, and here we are. You know what? Your eyes sitting there. Go Yankees. Go Yankees. I trained them well. Amen. Go Yankees, you know. And I'm like, I had to tell them, guys, I can't do this for a whole game. All right? You need calm down. Take a breath for a minute. All right? Let's tone it down. We don't yell the entire time a game is happening. I'm tired just hearing you, all right? We'll get excited when we need to get excited, amen? Okay. You ever get excited about what Jesus is doing?
Amen, yeah.
I mean, I know you don't have to yell and scream and shout and I'm not a big amen. Okay, that's fine. You don't even have to say hallelujah. But you ever tell anybody how good God is? You ever say anything to anybody else? Does anybody even know that you and God have ever spoken? Like, have you ever bragged about what he's done? Because, I mean, eventually it comes out of your face. Eventually. It should, something should come out about God doing something for you.
Amen.
I mean, we're going to get to it in a minute and all the things he's done, and we'll never have a list that's long enough to cover everything he's done. I get it. But the truth is, these folks realize Jesus is coming in, and it got them a little excited.
Amen.
That the king of Israel had finally arrived. They thought they were bringing in a kingdom. They didn't realize 3 days later they were going to crucify him. They didn't realize that a few days down the road, that's all it was going to take, and he was going to die at their own hands. But that day, they were like, let's do it! Is there anything you've seen God do you get excited about?
Amen.
Enough to, you know, say it? Oh, I mean, you just want us to yell and shout during the sermon. I don't care if you yell and shout during a sermon. I hope you just say something. Something at any point of your life would be good. There's something vocal about praising him.
Amen.
Praise is not silent.
Right.
Hold your place right here. Look at Psalm 150, last psalm. If you have never read the last psalm, it's not very long. We'll read the whole thing. All six verses. The last psalm is Psalm 150. I did not choose Psalm 119 to read the entirety today. Psalm 150. The command goes out, praise ye the Lord.
Yeah.
That's a command. That's not like, hey, if you get a chance, if you get an opportunity, if somebody asks you, nope, he just said, praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God in his sanctuary. Now, I know that's Old Testament. But you and I have two likenings to a sanctuary. You're sitting in one and you're living in the other. So you can praise him while you're here, and you can praise him when you're out there. Because you got his sanctuary.
Yeah.
Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And then if you haven't figured it out yet, praise ye the Lord. There is nothing silent about that. There's nothing solely internal about that. Eventually, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Even if it's on accident, eventually we praise him. If we love him. Like, praise is a heart issue, but I'm not going to get into that yet. These folks are so excited, they're shouting it down.
Amen.
People go, oh, you guys go to Youth Ablaze, and it gets loud in there, and it gets a little crazy, and people are yelling, and they're shouting, and they're holding up a hand, and they're, you know, yep.
Amen.
And people tell me, that's too crazy in there. That's not, no. That's not church. I'm like, that's more church than you've ever been in then. If you can't figure out that church is a good place to say something about how good God is,
amen,
then I don't really know what church you go to. Now, I get it. It can't all be emotion, and it can't all be hype, and it can't. And every service is not Youth Ablaze. If that were the case, we'd all be completely exhausted all the time, and like it becomes fake. It's not real. There's some excitement and some boldness that goes with it. So I like our teenagers to go to that. They like get them to go to teen camp. If there's a youth rally happen, we have special meetings. So what are you doing? Just trying to make sure everybody remembers God is amazing.
Amen. That's right.
And it's amazing that he would even talk to me.
Yeah.
Let alone do anything that I would ask.
Amen.
Of him. That's amazing to me.
Right.
And we ought to praise him for it. But too many times we stay silent. And the Pharisee looks over, and we'll get to that later too, but the Pharisee looks over and goes, "Hey, Master, rebuke them." And instead, somebody comes up to you and says, "Hey, why don't you keep it down? What do you got to be so excited about? I mean, can't you be feeling dead like the rest of us? I mean, why would you be happy about what God's doing? Well, taste and see that the Lord is good."
Amen.
And maybe you'll start praising Him.
Amen.
Notice back there in Luke chapter 19, I told you to hold your place. We're going back. I'm not going to turn to all the places I'm talking about. Luke chapter 19, though, here He is. And they say that they're praising Him. You get to verse number 37. He says that He's coming nigh, He's descending, coming down the Mount of Olives. The whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice.
Right.
Why? For all the mighty works that they had seen.
Amen.
These folks have been watching Him for the last 3.5 years. Some of them evidently got to see all the way back to that wedding of Cana in Galilee, where He goes ahead and takes care of everybody. They get to go ahead and see Him, you know, go ahead and heal some lepers. They get to watch Jesus literally walk down the road and people just lining the streets, and He's healing everybody. I don't know about you, that's pretty awesome. That's pretty amazing to me to watch as God just walks down the street and just everybody He walks past gets up. They got to see Jesus contend with the Pharisees. The guy's got his withered hand, you know, on the Sabbath day of all things. Let's see what He's going to do. Everybody's watching. He says, "I'm going to heal him, gentlemen." Because the Lord didn't make the Sabbath for man to run us and to lord over us. He made the Sabbath so that we could be blessed during it. Set arm out. Looks down at the man sick of the palsy and he says, "Thy sins be forgiven thee."
Right.
Who can forgive sins but God alone? He says, "You got it. What difference does it make if I say thy sins be forgiven thee, or let me prove who I am? Arise, take up thy bed and walk." Let's go.
Amen. Yeah.
He made him whole over and over and over again. And then he turns around and says, "Hey, what do you got for food, guys?" "Like 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes." "Okay. More than enough. We got 5,000 men plus women and children. You said 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes is enough?"
"Yeah."
"Don't worry, you'll take baskets. Be so much left, there's more than I started with." That's God's math. Somehow God's math works that He just doesn't. And you're like, "How do I have more than I did before I started?" And He said, "Oh, that was just me. I just multiply. I don't know how y'all do that down there, but up here we just multiply everything you have and make it even better, because I'm God." And they're watching Jesus. Jairus' daughter's probably there. She's probably shouting. "But that woman with the issue of blood, if I could but touch the hem of His garment, I'll be made whole." I bet she's there. So why'd she be there? Because it's His day. I think she's there. I think Peter's mother-in-law's there. Took care of her, didn't he? First pope to have a mother-in-law and no wife. Weird. Anyways. Why are you making fun of people? This is just foolishness. That's just foolishness. No man in his right mind is going to have a mother-in-law and not get a wife out of the deal. You think that widow and her son aren't there?
Come on. Yeah.
Buyers going through town, Jesus stops them. What are you going to do? I'm just going to have him get up.
Amen.
What do you mean you're just going to have him get up? He's dead. We're at the funeral. Oh, he's just sleeping. I'll wake him up.
Amen.
Well, Lazarus, I mean, he's probably there.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, if there's somebody you can't keep quiet, it'd probably be Lazarus. I mean, good night. He was literally in his grave 3 days. Man, he's probably stinky, Lord. He's stinking in there. What do we do? He says, don't you worry about it. I'm the resurrection and the life. He that cometh to me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Lazarus, I came to see you.
Yeah.
What are you doing in there? Come on out here. And out comes Lazarus.
Amen.
They're sitting there looking around and Jesus is talking. And he's answering the questions and the problems and the troubles, and the soldiers come and Jesus gets speaking, and they come back and they're like, why didn't you take him? Well, never man spake like that man. We aren't touching him. Nobody spoke like him. Nobody does what he does. Nobody's like Jesus. That's what they're looking at.
Amen.
And he's walking in. Well, he's not walking. He's riding. He's riding in, and they're yelling because they're remembering what he's done for them.
Hey.
Provided.
Right.
Healed. Yeah. Fixed the problems. They're looking at him. They're going, man, this guy, he's going to come in, and as king, he is going to go ahead and cast off all the oppression we have. He's going to go ahead. He's going to be victorious. He has yet to fail us. We've been watching him for 3.5 years. He has yet to fail. By the way, he never failed.
That's right. Amen.
They just didn't understand the mission. Anyways, I'll get to that. And he comes. You know what they're thinking? They're thinking of all the things he's done. What great things the Lord hath done for us. All right, Christian. Sitting there for a while, and I've been talking about everybody else's stuff. In a few days, they're going to have him crucified. 3 days later, he's going to rise from the dead. And then 2,000 years later, he's going to save you.
Right. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
What he did for me.
Amen.
2,000 years later, he's still saving. If you're in here today, you know Christ is your Savior. He saved you. Washed you of all of your sins, forgiven you forever. You don't think that's praiseworthy? To go from death to life? To go from the condemnation of hell for all of eternity, a lake of fire, for all of eternity, to suffer for your sins, to go ahead and have all that removed, the condemnation wiped away, and God, justified by faith through His blood, goes ahead and washes you of all of your sins, cleanses you from all unrighteousness, and say, you know what, I'm going to make you, instead of being a child of the devil and a child of wrath and a child of disobedience and a wayward son, I'm going to go ahead and bring you over here and you can be the sons of God.
Amen.
I'll adopt you into my family and I'll take you to heaven for all of eternity and you'll sit at my table.
Amen.
And you'll eat the king's meat forever and ever. I'll give you a mansion, I'll give you a robe, I'll give you a crown, I'll give you everything. You got nothing to praise Him for?
Come on.
The silence that is in our lives is so sad.
Yeah.
The times we're just silent and we know better. And He's done so much and we understand what He's done, and then we sit there and go, I couldn't tell anybody about it. I'm too nervous. I mean, I know He's answering my prayers. I know He's come through over here and He's done this and He's done that. You want to know why the Lugos have had such a great time of witnessing?
Yeah.
Because they're trying to praise him.
Amen.
They talk about what he's done,
right,
what he's doing. You know why Brother Netterville gets a chance to witness to people? Say, oh, he's almost close to eternity. I mean, he's there in hospice and they're not giving him much time. Yeah, but he's already won two.
Amen.
It's more than some Christians do in their entire lives. He did it on his deathbed.
Amen.
Praising him. Just praising him. I got to stand up and proclaim the gospel to people who never hear the gospel. Because of what the Lord did. So I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not going to say it right here. Ask me later. But I got to proclaim it to people who never hear the gospel and they're still asking about it. They're still talking about what God did. Say, why? Because God does amazing things. But if you don't praise Him, they don't know Him. We praise Him because He is so marvelous to us, because He is so great to us, because He does meet our needs, because He does heal, because He does forgive, because He does. That's what He does. So why are we quiet about it? I hope you're not quiet about it. God is so good to us. I got talking with somebody. I don't know who I was talking with. I was talking with somebody. I talked to a lot of people this week. And I said, just dealing with different things. We got talking about America. One of the things I said was, you know, we were talking about God being good to America. Man. Whew. Say, what's wrong? For some reason, my face is dripping. Because you get talking about how good God is, and you just start, whew, makes your face start melting. That's all it is. You know, you get in the presence of God, your face melts. That's what it is. And here he is. And I got talking, and I said, man, I really think that if we ever turn our back on Israel at all, I think we're done. I don't think we've got any reserve left of God's blessings that we should get because of what we have turned to such a wicked, ungodly nation as a whole. Now, when I look at America, I think the only thing we got is we still hadn't turned on Israel yet. But if we ever flip that script right there and go and join up with all the other nations, I don't think we've got minutes. I think we're in trouble. At that particular moment, I think God just removes His hand of protection off of our nation and He goes ahead and just, whew. When God takes His hand off of a nation of protection, when He removes that thing, you watch how fast it goes. It goes real fast. It doesn't take long for a nation to fall. Say, does that scare you? No, because I still have God. And His goodness doesn't change for me.
Amen.
He's still good. And He's still right. And He's still holy. And He's still just. And He still does great things. And even in our worst times, you know what He is? He is still better than anything else you could ever find. He is the greatest. And because of that, we praise Him. Because of what He's done. Because of what He's doing right now, whether we see it or not. And if everything goes terrible, you know what He'll still be? He'll still be great because it's not His fault. God is great. And if He can go ahead and take 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes and feed 5 and so on, He can do that for me.
Right.
I don't need anything great. If He can go ahead and take Elijah, put him by a brook and feed him and clothe him and take care of him, if He can have the children of Israel wander around for 40 years and never have to buy a new pair of shoes, He can do a whole lot of things that you and I just can't figure out. And we praise Him for His marvelous works. His mercy endureth forever. His goodness to generations. He's just so good. It's a hard time. You find somebody who does a good job working on your house. Good job fixing your car. A good job taking care of whatever. You find somebody who's good at that. You know what people like? They like word of mouth.
Right.
Brother James down there in Tennessee, he's trying to build up his auto business, his mechanic shop. You know what he said to me? He said, down here, definitely, you don't advertise. He goes, all word of mouth. He goes, you make one person happy, 20 people know about it. That's pretty good. Christian, God's been good to you. You ever had a problem he hasn't fixed? You ever had a need he hasn't met? You ever looked at him and said, boy, that's just not enough? Okay, why don't you brag about him like you would somebody who fixed your car? Hey, you want somebody who's not going to swindle you? They're not going to cheat you out of stuff. They're not going to cut cord. They're going to do the job right. Call so and so. You want somebody who's going to take care of it? They're going to know what they're doing, and they've got it all under. Go talk to so and so. Okay. So, how much is it going to cost? Doesn't make any difference to us. You know, oftentimes we don't go, boy, how much is that going to cost? We go, hey, if they're the best, they're going to do it right. That's who I want. We're all right with paying a little extra if they're going to do it right. Well, it's going to cost me an extra $100 over there. Okay, cheapskate, but I know they're going to do it right. You don't know if they're going to do it right. I'll take the guy who's going to do it right. Here's the Lord. You trust him? Can you brag about him? Well, God did that for me. Hey, I heard so-and-so going through this. I'll go over and let them know. I went through that before. God did this. God took care of me. Praise him. That's praising him.
Amen.
Praising him is walking over and going, hey, guess what? You know what? I also lost somebody and it was rough on me. Here's what the Lord did for me.
Amen.
He comforted me in this way.
Yeah. Right.
You know, sometimes we don't know what's happening in somebody's life. We look around and we go, you know what? You know, Some of you, I'm not trying to open up some things here. But some of you lost some kids. Some of you lost some family members that are close. Husbands lost wives. Wives have lost husbands. Those kind of things. I can't walk up to you and go, I know what you're going through. I have no idea what you're going through. I would love to think that I know what you're going through. But one thing I learned very quickly when we had Uriah was I thought I understood the crucifixion and God giving his son. And the love that God had for me when he gave Jesus to die at Calvary. And then I had a son. And then I thought, well, this is different. I don't rightly know I could do that. See, it's different. You walk up to somebody and go, oh, well, I know what it's like to whatever, fill in the blank. But if you haven't had it, you probably don't know. But what's marvelous is when someone else walks over to you and says, hey, guess what? I had this happen. And you go, that's what I had happen. What'd God do for you? And you get to pray what he did for you.
Amen.
Even in the bad times.
Amen.
Even in the times when everything's darkest.
Right.
You get to reach over and say, hey, guess what? Been right where you are.
Amen.
And I don't know all of what you got happening, but I do know at least this part right here. This is what I know. Because I've been there and I've watched God do great and mighty things that thou knowest not.
Amen.
But if you'd ask him, he'll do it. Do we praise him? There's a cause to praise him. There's a call to praise him. There's a cause to praise him. I'm not doing very good delineating my points. All you guys in preacher class, I'm sorry. All right, all you guys that are preachers. The call, the cause. The consequences. Notice their answer in verse number 38. Look what they say. They say, blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.
Amen.
Say, what's the consequences? God gets glory.
Amen. Right.
God gets glory. By the way, that's one of the things that you're here for.
Right.
Thou art worthy, O Lord, receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. We know we're supposed to give him glory. We're supposed to glorify him. We're supposed to praise him. We're supposed to talk about him. We're supposed to magnify him. You think about magnifying the Lord? Magnify. That means make him as big as you can.
Amen.
Joking around, I said, Brother Andrew sent me a huge text last week. He said, it wasn't that big. I said, sure it is. You just got to squeeze it and zoom it in a little. You can fill the whole page. Just got to magnify it. Make it larger than life.
Amen.
God's not even hard to magnify. He's huge.
Amen. Amen.
Right. Great in size, in power, in majesty, in glory, in everything.
Right.
He is great and greatly to be praised.
Amen.
Say, I just don't know how to give God glory. Praise him.
Brag
about everything he does.
Yeah.
Just keep talking about him.
Amen.
You ever get annoyed with people who just can't be quiet about certain things? Martin used to hate it when I worked at Tessie Plastics. Shannon, you didn't have to say yeah so loudly back there. Say what? Because you could tell plastic stories. Angie's tired of them. She's had them for decades. Who cares about plastic, right? That's really, honestly, that's true. Nobody cares. Why would you drone on about, I don't know, what do you drone on about? What do you just sit there and talk about? Brother Andrew, probably talking about music all day long. Like that's, you know. What do you talk about? You've got things you like and that you're interested in. You know, your social media pages, whatever. You got things you brag about. What food you ate, places you got to go, things you got to see, people that you know. Okay, what do you talk about? Is it magnifying him? Is it glorifying him? Glory to God in the highest. Our trouble is we glorify a whole lot of things that have nothing to do with him. And I'm not saying you're not allowed to have interests, right? I mean, I talked about the Yankees, all right? I have interests. It's not like you can't watch a game and talk about, hey, see the game. It's a great segue into witnessing to somebody. You football fans, you know, if you segue. If you don't segue, if I'm a Yankees fan who only talks about the Yankees, I'm a failure as a Christian.
Yep.
If all I can get off the ground is the Yankees won yesterday and I don't get to Jesus as the best winner I've ever seen, I'm in trouble.
Yep. There you go.
I'm not saying you can't talk about things. But boy, do we ever take time to give him any glory?
Come on.
I mean, he's the one we're supposed to be glorifying.
That's right.
We're real good at glorifying our other heroes. We're really good at going ahead and putting some other people up on a pedestal or some other things up on a pedestal, but for some reason, Jesus always seems to take the backstage area. Never seems to get out of the dressing room of glorification. Just stays in the back, and eventually we'll pull you out when we need a real good show. Why doesn't he get prime time for you? Why doesn't he get center stage? Why is it that you glorify so many other things, including myself? We're good at glorifying ourselves. Look what I did. Make sure you recognize what I did. The Lord says, what about what I did? You can't do anything without me. Didn't you notice that I was there?
Yeah.
So what do you mean? I mean, you're stealing his glory and giving it to you.
That's right.
You didn't do anything great. You don't have anything great.
That's right.
I'm going to go ahead. I'm gonna make you feel better about yourself today. You are not great. We're not. We're just not. But he is.
Amen.
And he's so great, he makes up for all of our not greatness. He's so great, he takes the worst of us and turns us into the greatest of us.
Amen.
So how did he do that? Isn't that the Apostle Paul's story?
Yeah.
Like in so much that he persecuted the church, he was wicked, going against everything God would ever want. And God says, I'll snatch you up, move you to my side. And I'll make you one of the greatest.
Amen.
Some people say Paul is the greatest Christian. I don't know about that. Probably in the top 10. How great was he? I don't know. But God trusted him to write over half your New Testament. That's pretty trustworthy. And he used to be that. He says, I'll make you great. God makes us great. He's so great, he deserves all of our glory. Thanksgiving and praise to our God. Our conduct. Man, I got to hurry up. I got so excited preaching on his mighty works, I've slowed up. I only got three more. That's why I said I got to hurry up. Amen. Our conduct. You know what these folks are doing? They're taking their clothes and throwing it down in front of him. They're taking the palm branches down, right? That's why it's palm sign. They're ripping the palm. They're laying it down in front of him. You know what they're saying? They're saying, you're so great. You're so good. You're so amazing. I don't even want the donkey you're riding on to touch the dirt. Say, what are they showing? They're showing he's high and I'm low. That's humility. Humility. I touched on it a little bit ago. You know what? We steal God's glory all the time. We tell the story, make ourselves look good, don't mention anything about God. We go ahead and talk about the amazing feat we were able to perform and how we're getting better and how we're stronger and how we're feeling great and how all these things. And then God just takes a back seat suddenly. Like he's not the one who went ahead and healed you and fixed you. Like he's not the one who went ahead and paid your bills for you and fixed it. He's not the one who gave you the job that you have. He's not the one who goes ahead and provided the groceries. He's not the one who goes ahead and takes care of putting a roof over your head. He's not the one who goes ahead and makes it so that you can actually stand up in the morning and go back to work. He's the one who does all those things.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
We can't get out of bed without him.
Right.
You can't even take your next breath without him.
Right.
Your heart is still beating because he decides he's letting it. And when he decides not, then you're done.
Yeah.
Our trouble is we think we're great. It's humbling to look at God and say, God, I needed you right there. I talked about a little bit about humility last week. Humbling ourselves and looking at God and saying, God, I need you. I can't. Under our burdens and the troubles and the problem. God, I can't. And we humble ourselves and we go, God, I can't. And when he answers, we stand up and say, look at how amazing I am. When we ought to be right back down on our face going, God, I couldn't, and you did.
Amen.
God, I couldn't do it, but you did it. Your strength and your might, your power, your wisdom, your greatness, you did it. I did nothing. I just did what you told me to do. I trusted you. That's all I did. I couldn't do it. Why is it you suddenly take credit for everything you couldn't do as soon as God does it? I hope not. I hope not. He does great and mighty things, and we just sit back and we're so complacent. We steal it. We forget about it. He doesn't get any, because we won't humble ourselves and say, look what God did. We won't sit back and marvel at his greatness. One of the reasons we won't is we have no courage. There's some courage that's supposed to go along with praise. Courage. So what are these folks doing? They're crying out loud. You mean everybody's watching them? Yep, everybody's watching them. I mean everybody can hear them? Everybody can hear them. So much so that the religious crowd looks at Jesus and says, "Master, rebuke thy disciples. Tell them they're wrong." And Jesus is like, "If I did, if they don't say anything, bring on the stones." Christian, why are you so ashamed of what God does? I hope you're not ashamed of what He's doing. He saved you. Does anybody know He did that for you?
Amen.
Taking you to heaven for all of it. Does anybody know He did that for you?
Amen.
Does anybody know that He paid your bill? Does anybody know that He gave you that job? Does anybody know that He gave you that family? Does anybody know that He gave you those kids? Does anybody know that God did everything that you could ever imagine? Say, "Yeah, but I don't like my life." Then you're a whiner and a complainer. You don't know what I've been through. Doesn't matter. God gave you that life. By the way, most of our lives are tumultuous because of our own issues and our own choices, not because of anybody else's. We made our own mess, and then we go, "How come God hasn't taken this all away from me?" God's like, "I would, but you won't do it my way." So you're stuck in the same spot you're always in. And then we go, take some accountability, stand up on your own feet and say, "I messed that up, that was me." And go ahead and make some choices. Choose to be different. And look at God and say, "God, I'm going to praise you for making these changes for me. Lord, I need you to humble. I need you to help me change." Okay. "God, thank you for helping me change." Then let somebody else know when they say, "Boy, you've changed."
Amen.
How many of you, since you got saved, don't raise your hand. I got to say that every time. Don't raise your hand. Not looking for a show of hands, all right? How many of you got saved? Now, some of us, we were like 7, all right? So it wasn't a great swelling change in our lives. We weren't, you know, I wasn't a murderer at 7, like out. Wasn't, right? Get saved at 7, that's a little different. But some of you got saved later. And God changed you just like that. And somebody invariably comes up to somebody like you and they say, "Man, you've changed. What happened to you?" Some of us made a lot of dumb mistakes when we were growing up. And so then we, you know, looked bad at different times. And then we got right with the Lord and we were like, "Okay, I'm on it." And all of a sudden, we stopped doing certain things. And people are like, "What happened to you? You've changed." You know what that is? There's your chance to not be a coward. There's your chance to have a little bit of courage. Get your backbone from wherever you left it and put it in. Stand up there and say, "God happened to me.
Amen.
Jesus forgave me and He saved me and He washed me and He's helping me live right and He's helping me do right." And if you had Jesus, He could do the same for you. You don't have to stay where you are either. How many times do we miss that? Because we don't praise Him. I hope the rocks aren't taking your place. Lastly, see that I made it. Didn't think I could preach that quick. I did it. There must be some consistency. See, I don't see that in the passage. It's because they lose theirs. If they would have stayed where they were right here in Luke chapter 19, and they stayed praising him, Jesus would not have been crucified by a mob calling, "Crucify him, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar." He's coming in being proclaimed as king. But by the middle of the week, "We have no king but Caesar." Say, what changed? Jesus didn't. Jesus didn't. He's going to get in here. He's still going to do miracles. He's still going to be all Jesus, just like he's always been. Children of Israel decided to change their mind. They decided, you know what, I'm going to shut off the praise for Jesus, and I'm going to go ahead and join up with those people who told us to be quiet. We'll join the silent crowd. We'll join the crowd who looks over at you when you were excited and shouting and just so happy with what God's doing in your life and recognizing the goodness and the greatness and the marvel of God. And we're going to go ahead and we're going to join up with those who looked at you and said, "Don't worry, you'll be over here eventually." You know why I get frustrated after Youth Ablaze or Teen Camp or something? I get a little frustrated sometimes if I hear somebody. I didn't this year. Praise the Lord. I didn't hear it. Somebody might have said it. But somebody look around and say, "They're just too excited. They'll calm down." I hope they don't.
Yeah, amen.
I'd rather have 10 people excited,
amen,
than 1,000 people who don't care. I'd rather have 10 people who will go ahead and shout her down and tell how great God is to everybody they know than 1,000 people who are in heaven and have no, they just never say anything about him. Why would you want them like that? Well, they're disturbing the service. You're disturbing the service. Your lousy, bitter, gripey attitude. God didn't expect you to sit there like stones.
Right.
He left the stones there so they could sit there.
Amen.
He called you to praise.
Amen.
He called you to lift up your voice and say something about him.
Right.
He asked you to go ahead and give him some glory. Amen. He asked you to talk about what marvelous things he's doing. He asked you to brag about him. Hadn't he given you enough to brag about?
Yeah.
Amen. Man, he's been so good to us and we don't even realize it. It's a shame that Thanksgiving is once a year.
Amen.
I hope that's not once a year in your life.
Right.
I hope you don't stop near the end of November, look around and go, "Okay, what did God do for me? Let's see if I can remember." I hope you praise him a whole lot more than that. I hope you remember what great things the Lord hath done for thee far more than that. I hope you never lose the idea that, you know what? God deserves all my praise. And every time I see him do something, I'm going to thank him for it. Every time I see God take care of something, I'm going to thank him for it. And then when I don't see anything happen, I'm going to go, "God, I don't know what you're doing, but you're doing something. So I'm going to thank you for just doing something because I know you got something going on because I don't know. I'm just too blind, too failing, too whatever to see it. And you're doing something and I'm going to let you do it. But I know you're doing something because you love me. And I love that you love me, and thank you for loving me, and thank you for, you're so good."
Yeah,
how's your praise? Is God looking around going, "Do I have to get some stones? I need some replacements. Let's bring those in here so that we can go ahead and get some praise because my kids aren't praising me." I hope you're grateful today for a wonderful God. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'll brag on him now. He's a wonderful Savior.
Amen.
And he'll save you to the uttermost. He'll take you from death and put you into life for all of eternity. If you don't have a day, you ask Jesus to be your Savior. He wants to save you today. He wants to wash you and cleanse you and take you, and He wants you. And He proved it at Calvary. He proved it because He died for you. He loves you so much, He died for you. And then He rose again. And when He rose again, He gave life to all who would believe. He has the keys of death and of hell. And He is the one who controls who goes to heaven and who doesn't, because He's the door. And if you want salvation, you just got to come to Him and He'll go ahead and save. And His answer is, He that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. Do you want salvation? Jesus is the Savior. You want salvation? He guarantees He'll save you if you ask Him. You want salvation? It's a free gift. You can have it. Christian, you've gotten that gift already, and you've gotten so much more. So much more. I hope God at least knows you're grateful. But I'll tell you this. If all the times you ever praise Him is just a quiet time of prayer at your house to tell Him how good He's been, you're not praising Him. You're not praising Him. Praise becomes something other people get to hear. And I don't even mean you got to shout it down in a church. I don't care. But eventually it better come out of your mouth. Praises to our God. He's worthy. I hope you're telling somebody how great He is. Let's go ahead and stand. I'm going to keep preaching. Let's go ahead and stand. I'll say this while they come. The world knows you're not good. They know I'm not good. Not by myself, I'm not good. That's why they have to know how great He is. That's why they have to know what great things He does. Because if they don't know Him being great, they'll think of you. And the times that you've messed it up, and the times that you failed, and the times you said the wrong thing, and the times you lost your temper, and the times you didn't treat your wife right, and the times you didn't treat your husband right, the times you didn't treat your kids well, the times that you failed in front of them, you know what they'll remember that. And we need to point them to somebody who's better and has never failed us and has never come up short and has never, never let you down. He's the great one. I'm not that great. Not even close. I can't even call me good. Man, He's great. And if you get to meet Him, He'd be great to you too. Father, please bless us now. Help us to give You the praise that You deserve. Hold You up high that You draw all men unto You. You want to draw them? All we got to do is hold You up. Father, I was trying to hold You up today. I was trying to hold Jesus up. He's the greatest. He's a greater than Solomon. He's a greater than a David. He's greater than Abraham. He's greater. Because He's the greatest. Father, bless us today in Jesus' name. Amen.